Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 208. And I've got some amazing news for you. Our official Jazz Piano School 3.0 launch and open enrollment period for 4 days only is going to be September 28th, Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern. Are you guys ready for this or what?
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. All right, welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 208. My name is Brendan Lowe. I'm the host, creator, and founder of Jazz Piano School. Thank you so much for your joining me, and thank you for your support as always. So, as you heard in the intro, I have some amazing, amazing news. And that is I've finally officially set a date. It makes me a little nervous, as always, every time we do one of these. But I had to set a date, and I believe this is going to be absolutely incredible. I don't believe, I know. It's going to be absolutely incredible. It's going to be September 28th. Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Eastern, you will get an email sent to your inbox with all the details. Now, we've been closed for almost a year. And at the time of the launch, it'll pretty much be a year minus probably like a couple weeks because we closed in October of last year. So the reason I closed Jazz Piano School is that I needed, for my own gratification and kind of moral, what's the right word? Like obligation, I guess, responsibility, integrity. I needed to make it better. Like my dream is always to make Jazz Piano School the best that it can be. And in order to do that, I had to close things down so that I could kind of rebuild. I had to rebuild. And it took this long. And you know what? It was all absolutely worth it. It was all absolutely worth it. And the process I took is a lot like the process that I'm going to teach in my new training that I'm going to be releasing right before the enrollment period opens on essentially taking a new path and rebuilding your jazz piano skills and really kind of going down a different route that you may not be accustomed to doing. And it may be scary, it may be different, but in the long run, ultimately, it's going to allow you to play better, achieve your dream, and do exactly everything that you've always wanted and set out to do, right? And that was the process I had to take. I had to literally close Jazz Piano School. It pained me. It killed me to do that. But I had to rebuild. And now, oh, let me tell you, it is gorgeous. It's gorgeous. We have so many upgraded features, improvements to the site. It's absolutely fantastic. It looks beautiful. It feels beautiful. The user experience is going to be absolutely fantastic. We got certifications, badges, all these different types of areas. Everything's so neatly organized. Oh, it's just fantastic. The lesson pages are just spot on with the menus and everything, icons. Oh, it's great. And it truly is. It's the Disneyland of jazz piano. It really is. That's all I can say. It's the Disneyland of jazz, of learning jazz piano, right? And once you get in there, you're going to be like, this is a world. Like, it's a full world immersion of jazz piano education. It's incredible, but it's so well structured and organized. Like, not to toot my own horn, but man, if I had this when I was growing up, holy smokes. Like, I would have saved 15 years of struggle, pain, frustration, guessing, doubt, right? If you kind of take a crayon or a marker and just scribble circles on a piece of paper, that's literally what my path of learning jazz piano was like to get to the point that I'm at now. That's what it's like. That's what it was like. And that's what it's like for 99% of students out there. I rarely do I see a student not experience those frustrations.
And you know what? You know, as some educators and people were like, well, you got to go through that. That's the process of learning. No, that's BS. No. You know what? You got to
serve your dues, right? You got to go through the pain. You got to go in circles. Sometimes that's just the process. You know, you got to give your time.
No. I believe in efficiency. I believe in structure. I believe in organized learning. That's a process, right? That holds to a process in a directional path that leads you from point A to point B. And for the most part, you don't get that. And I'm going to talk about that in the new training that I'm going to be releasing. So definitely, here's what you want to do to get all the details, to get this free new training that I'm giving out. That's literally going to talk about the Jazz Piano School system. It's going to talk about the core four theory sequences that I've created, the system in general, the full blueprint that I've created for the curriculum, and a bunch of other goodies as well. And so you want to go to jazzpianoschool.com. There's a big button. You can't miss it. It says click here for more info. Click here to learn. And you'll be brought to a waiting list page because we've been closed, right? And so just enter your email address into the waiting list, and you'll be on the Jazz Piano School waiting list for our open enrollment, which is, again, September 28th, Monday at 6 a.m. Eastern. At that point, we will send an email to everybody with a link to all the information that you need about our new platform, about what's involved, what you're going to get, pricing, everything. Okay, I know a lot of people have been waiting for a long time. That's exactly how it's going to go down. So if you've been on the waiting list or you're on our email list already, you will get those details sent to you and you will have the opportunity to join us as a Jazz Piano School member with the options that we have available. But just like I said, I believe in a true directional path because I built it. I literally took the time to build it, and I'm going to tell you all about that in this training series and why it works so well, why it's successful, why it literally relieves the pain and frustration and takes the guesswork out of learning jazz piano. Okay, I'm going to talk about how traditional jazz piano ways, education, have come from copying and showing in the internet. In this day and age that we live in has exacerbated that to a point where it's a mess of information for all students. And guess what? You know, that's due to the internet. Now, just because there's so much information out there, guess what? It doesn't mean that it's organized in the appropriate way for you to learn. Yes, we can go onto YouTube. Yes, we can go onto the internet. Yes, we can, you know, buy all these different types of courses. But guess what? Without a plan, without a system, without a roadmap, all the information in the world doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, right? Because you're left to put the pieces together yourself. All right, man, I could go off right now, but I'm gonna reel it in. Okay, September 28th, Monday, 6 a.m. Eastern. All right, get on the waiting list. You'll get all the details available. So in this particular episode, I'm gonna be talking about three note voicings, and I did this before previously. And three note voicings, I did this in episode 197, but the episode got screwed up for some reason. You couldn't really hear the piano, so I'm going again. Okay, so in this particular episode, I'm going to talk about three note voicings. I'm going to talk about why they're important. I'm going to talk about why you need them. I'm going to talk about what they are, how to adapt them, how to morph them, how to use them if you're a beginner, intermediate, and advanced player. And it's so funny. There's so many like terms thrown around in the jazz world, as with any kind of hobby thing, I guess, golf, painting, fishing, whatever, biking. There's all these terms, right? So you hear these terms that are thrown around, like three note voicings. Hey, do you know your three note voicings? Hey, look, check out these three note voicings. Have you practiced your three note voicings? Sorry, it just reminded me of some Seinfeld episode. I don't know if I felt like I was talking like Jerry Seinfeld for a sec. Hey, have you got your three note voicings? Do you know your three note voicings? How would you like to get some three note voicings? There's definitely a skit he does like that. But isn't it true, right? Have you heard that before? And if you haven't, well, you definitely will. I heard it all the time when I was younger. And I was like, oh, dang, I got to learn my three note voicings, right? I was like, what are these three note voicings? They're so mystical, but it sounds like they're really important. And you know what's funny? That's the thing about jazz piano is that you hear these things like, oh, I got to learn my Bill Evans voicings. I got to learn my McCoy voicings. I got to learn chordal voicing. Like, what? Like, all these, like, terms are thrown around. Then you go on these scavenger hunts to, like, try and learn these things on your own. And you're like, okay, well, that sounds great. Like, what's the purpose of these? Like, how do I actually use these? And, like, does this help me play a tune? Well, not really, but, like, I can play these cool voicings and they sound good, but like I can't do anything else. it just kills me. It just kills me. It's like it's so funny to me, just the journeys. This was my journey. I tease about it because I literally went through this. This is the exact reason I built Jazz Piano School, to help everybody. Like, so they wouldn't have to do what I did. They wouldn't have to have the experience that I did. Like, just randomly digging down rabbit holes that led nowhere. Anyway, back to three-note voicing. So, I'm going to tell you all about them in this particular episode. I guess I'll shut up now because you get the picture. And with that being said, let's dive in. Here we go. All right. So, three-note voicings. Here are three-note voicings. Essentially, they are three-note voicings. Shocker, right? So let's start with the basics though, because I want to tell you how to construct these and how to use them. In any sort of voicing, you need two things really. Bass note, okay? You need a bass note. You need shells, okay? So what I'm doing right now is that I am playing an F minor 7 chord. Bass note and shells. Just like that. Okay, that's it. That's all I need. Can you believe that? To play a voicing, that's literally all you need. And all of us are searching for voicings like... Right? You don't need that. But of course, they sound great. But you want to know where to start. You want to know where the bottom is. Like, to get to a certain point, you got to know where to start, right? Bass note, shells. That's all you need. Now, if you can't play your bass note and shells for every single chord, that's the first step. That's the very first step to being a great voicing player, to play beautiful voicings. You want to be able to play all your shells with your left-hand bass notes. Now, the tune I'm going to be taking is All the Things You Are, okay? Now, just like I was just talking about, you should be able to go through your 2-5-1s and play all your shells in your right hand. Sorry, I got distracted for a sec. Play all the shells in your right hand, all the bass notes in your left hand, right? Now, I wasn't resolving there, but any sort of exercise to practice your shells. Now, you should practice with the 7 on the bottom and the 3 on top. This is a C minor 7, going to F7, going to B flat major 7. I should practice the other way as well. Don't worry about the fingering for now. Just worry about actually playing the voicings, right? You can go around the circle of fourths, right? So I'd start in the key of C. There's C. Then I move to the key of F. Right? Then I move to the key of B flat. Then the key of E flat. Right? Play in different registers, right? Don't just play up here. Play down here, right? Listen to this beautiful, rich sound. Okay, you get the picture. You need to be able to do that in all keys and do that well even before you get to using three-note voicings. So many students do not even understand that. You jump directly into the 3, the 4-note voicings, the Bill Evans voicings, the McCoy voicings, because you know why? They're cool. And I get that. It's the shiny object, you want it. But listen, if you're going to fill all the holes in your playing, if you're going to develop as a complete player, trust me, stick to the process. Okay, stick to the process and listen to what I'm telling you, all right? Because I did it wrong. I did it wrong for 15 plus years. So besides playing 2-5-1s, you need to be able to isolate your shells in all different keys. Those are all minor shells, right? I'm playing all minor shells. These are all minors. And likewise, you need to be able to play all dominants. Dominant, 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 right? Just practice those in any which way. You can go through the circle of fourths. Always practice with the 7 and the 3rd. right? Then flip-flop it, third on the bottom, seven on the top. Seven on the bottom, third on the top. Third on the bottom, seven on the top for C7, right? Right, you go through the whole circle of four. So the isolation of your shells needs to be practiced. Do you know why? Because in tunes, you're not always going to see 2-5-1s. You may see A flat 7, B flat 7, D minor, F minor. So in that case, you need to be able to go A flat 7, B flat 7, D minor, E minor. It's not always going to be in 2-5-1, a 2-5-1 format. All right? So in the tune, all the things you are, I want to be able to play my shells first. You should be practicing, depending upon what level you are, you should be practicing this as a beginner. And even I still go through tunes to directly hear how the bass note and shells are moving through the harmonic motion in all tunes, like in new tunes that I learn. I still use this to this day. No one is better than this exercise. Mark my words, okay? It doesn't matter how good you are, all right? This will still benefit you all the way to a professional level. Right? So I go through and I play these. Okay? So you want to be able to do that for any tune. Now, obviously, we're working on the tune, all the things you are. Okay? So that's the first step. Work to just being able to accomplish that alone. Now, three-note voicings, like I said, are three note voicings. Okay, there's no like fancy thing about it. They call them three note voicings because they're literally just three note voicings. All right. So as a beginner, once you can accomplish that very first step, the trick to adding on that third note, and it's special for a number of different reasons. Like people talk about three note voicings because you're able to add on a third note, which is going to change the color and texture of the chord. Check it out. The first thing you want to be able to do after you can play the shells is just simply add other chord tones onto your shells. So in this case, I'm going to add the roots. So I'm adding the root on top. Now, if you think for a second, Brendan, I don't want to add the roots. I want to add the color tones. I want to add the extensions. I want to add the good stuff, you know? If you think that for even the slightest second, okay, first of all, don't worry. We're going to get there. Second of all, Brad, Keith, Chick, Herbie, all the pros, McCoy, they're using roots and chord tones in their voicings all the time with no extensions. In the simplicity that's brought out by having just a voicing with no colors, just chord tones, creates a pure harmonic sound that's absolutely gorgeous because of its simplicity. All right? Check out Brad and Keith transcriptions, you'll see they're using voicings with absolutely no color tones extensions. All right, so no one's above just using voicings with just purely chord tones, okay? Here we go. So my roots on top, roots on top, roots on top, E flat, right? Roots on top, roots on top, roots on top, roots on top. Okay, you see that? So right now, technically, what I'm doing is I'm playing three-note voicings. I'm doing it. I'm doing it, Mom. Look, I'm doing it. That's exactly it. That's exactly what three-note voicings are. So the thing about three-note voicings is you get to pick. You get to pick what you add on to your voicing, right? So here's my shells. I chose to add the root on top. Let's choose a different chord tone, shall we? Let's double the third on top. And again, that's okay, guys. That's okay, guys and girls. Everybody. It's okay. It's okay to double the top, to double the thirds. Right. Check this out. So I have 3-7-3. 3-7-3. 3-7-3. That's a gorgeous sound. Don't you agree? That's gorgeous. I love it. I love it. All right. Now, obviously, with three-note voicings, too, you don't have to have it on top, but that's what we're mostly, primarily going to be working with here until we get into some advanced strategies. But you can practice adding chord tones in the middle or on the bottom. Now, the thing with that is that when you add them in the middle, you're essentially getting a root position chord, right? If I add a fifth in the middle, I'm essentially just getting a root position chord. So again, that's great. It sounds good, but I know you guys are looking for more, and that's pretty basic, right, at that level. So after we've practiced chord tones, we can start to switch them. So I may start to move them, right? So maybe I'll do root here, okay? And then maybe I jump up and I do a double here, right? Then I do root, and then I do a double. Maybe do I do a double again? And then I do a root, and then I do a double. And what I mean by a double is that I'm doubling a chord tone. So this simple process, I know I'm only going with two options. It's starting to warm up your brain, your hands, your soul, to allowing you to pick the note that you want and not copy other people. You see what I'm saying here? That's a huge moment, because you're spontaneously creating and expressing what you want as a player rather than copying a transcription of three-note voicings. Okay, all because you've just taken 5 minutes to learn a simple process to start incorporating three-note voicings, right, in a structured and organized learning manner. I mean, what? It doesn't get better than that. Okay, so you want to practice that. Get used to choosing, because some people, trust me, myself included, you would have the most difficult time just choosing between two options. Oh, what do I do on the next one? Should I use root or should I double the third? You want to get in the habit of just flowing, right? So this should be just like clockwork, and it shouldn't take much effort for your brain to decide what you want to pick, is what I'm getting at. Now, I'm not voice leading, all right? And we're going to get into this. When you're voice leading is the movement of the shells, as I was doing, through the keys with the least minimal movement. Now, the reason for this being is that if I do this and I'm jumping around, it doesn't sound bad, but you can hear the jump in the harmony. Now, harmony sounds, I don't want to say best because I still like the sound of what I just played, but harmony sounds very smooth, more smooth, I should say, when voices are leading and not moving very much. When I say not moving very much, I mean they're not jumping intervallically around the piano. So if I do this, so let me just voice lead my shells real quick. Instead of doing this, I'm doing this. You hear the difference between this and this? Oh, it's so sweet. It's so pretty. And then, right, we from the B flat minor to the E flat 7, we voice lead, right? So each shell is moving just one little step. Look at this. My seventh is moving to the third of the B flat minor chord, right? And then moving down to the third of the E flat 7, and then down to the third of the A flat. And you'll start to see a pattern here for sure. Third, third, third. You see that? Isn't that brilliant? It's amazing how harmony works mathematically. It's absolutely incredible. Now, again, this is one of the steps that you should absolutely know how to do. Voice lead your shells through tunes, playing bass notes and right-hand voicings. And you should be able to do this in two different ways. There's two different formations of shells. There's the third and the seventh on the top. And then there's the seventh on the bottom and the third on the top. Flip-flop. You should practice both ways. So here, I would start to voice lead. Right? Listen to how gorgeous that is. All right. So you got that down. You've practiced that. Now, what we can do is we can start to add on chord tones with our voice leading. We're combining two different steps now that I've explained to you already. So we're combining the choice of chord tone choosing with our voice leading. So I'm going to be moving to the B. I'll choose the root on top here. I'll move to the B flat minor, the shells right here. But now, since I'm in this position, guess what I can do? I can keep the F on top, but it now becomes my fifth. It's now the fifth of the chord, right? So I got the root on top, and then I have the fifth on top. Oh, ooh, you hear that? No chord tones yet, guys. No color extensions at all. And it sounds gorgeous. If I change my bass note. Oops, sorry. I added a color tone by accident. Here we go. You hear that? Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And then maybe I'll play the root on top here, or I could double. Right? And then I got the fifth on top. Oh, do you hear the difference now that it's making with the voice leading? I have so many more options with voice leading because I get to choose different chord tones in different formations. That's what leads to this beautiful sound. So now I'm on my A flat major 7. I got 7, 3, 5. I'm choosing to add the 5 on top. Now I'm going to choose to add the root on top. D flat root on top, right? And then let's go 7 on top. Let's go 5 on top. And then root on top. And if you can reach it, you could even go 5 on top with a spread. 3, 7, 5. Right? If you have the hands to reach a 10th. Okay, so let's do that one more time. I'll do it in a little bit faster motion. And I'll choose some other chord tones this time. So 3, 5, right? Root on top. So I'm saying the names of the third note in the chord on top. Root here. Okay. Let's do 5th. 3rd. Root. 3rd. Okay. So I'm creating three-note voicings. I'm voice leading. And I am picking the note that I want. Okay. Now, again, these are the three easy steps. So, again, the first step, as I talked about, is just being able to practice your shells through the tune. That's the first step to learning how to do this. The second step is essentially picking chord tones, like I was just doing, while you're voice leading. Okay? Picking chord tones while you're voice leading. Now, don't forget the little tiny step, okay? Which is picking chord tones without voice leading. That's kind of like packaged together, right? So first, you want to be able to play chord tones on top without voice leading. So I'm going to go here and I'm going to jump. Right? I'm not worried about voice leading my shells just yet. I'm just making the decision to put an extra voice on top. Oops, sorry. Right? So I'm just picking and choosing, okay? Then finally, in the second step, we are choosing the chord tone and voice leading. Okay, it should be nice and smooth, all right? So now we're on to step 3, right? 3 easy steps to implement 3-note voicings. Step 3 clearly is going to be the addition of color tones, extensions, right? Now, warning, important warning. This is very advanced. I wouldn't recommend, honestly, this is not a process I would take to teach you extensions, voicings, how to move through voicings in any sort of manner. But like I said, the jazz world kind of trains a lot of individuals and students like myself to kind of want this. You think you need this. So did I. You think you need to play 3-note voicings with extensions. Well, the path to getting here is not what I'm about to show you. There's a lot of steps in the middle. What do I mean by that? Well, you need to learn your all inversions of all chords first. You need to learn your rootless voicings, right? Which actually include extensions. Upper structure triads, which actually introduce you to more extensions. And then finally, the isolation of extensions, okay? With drop twos and a lot of other things. So like before we even get to this 3-note part, which a lot of people just skip to, which is why so many of us develop incompletely with lots of holes. A lot of us are jumping to this point right here. So that's my warning, but I'm still going to teach it to you, okay? Here we go. So you need to be at a point where you can recognize and instantly think of all the different extension options that you have available to you over all chords. How many of you listening right now can do that? Like if I say, okay, you know, Bill, Susie, you know, what extensions do I have available over an F minor 7? You need to be able to know exactly instantly. Well, I got G, B flat, D. Boom, like that. So that way you can choose. Okay, what dominant extensions do I have over the E flat 7? You need to know. You got E natural, F, F sharp, B natural, C natural, okay, and A natural. Those should be like instantly, okay? For any key, that should literally, you shouldn't have to think about that. Now, I know a lot of you right now are like, dang, I can't do that. Exactly, exactly. So this particular step I'm about to teach you, it's too advanced. But a lot of us start to go for it, which just starts to throw a wrench in the whole process, okay? But here we go. Anyway, I'm gonna switch up my top note and I'm gonna make it a 9. Okay, so you hear the sound that it has there, right? Now I'm gonna continue to voice lead, and you don't have to. You can jump around. Listen to, we'll do both. So I'm gonna jump up here and I'm gonna choose a different extension. I'm gonna choose the 11 on top. Right, so I have 3, 7, 11. I'm gonna jump down here. I'm gonna choose the flat 9. I'm gonna jump up here. I'm gonna choose the sharp 11. Okay, D natural, sharp 11 on top. Now again, I am not voice leading shells. I'm jumping, okay? All right, so right here, I'll choose the 9. Choose the sharp 9 here, and I'll choose the sharp 11. So I'm instantly choosing a color, where to put it, all within milliseconds of playing it, like snap of the fingers. All right, this is the level you want to get to. And again, just practicing this exercise, let me tell you something, listen closely. It will not get you to the spot that I am at right now where I can instantly choose the extension. There's a lot of other steps and better exercises that will get you there. All right, and then once you've done that, you come back to this, you work on choosing your 3-note voicings with picking your colors, and boom, okay? It's a systematic process. So I'm gonna voice lead now without jumping, and I'm gonna choose different extensions. So I have my 9, I'll start with my 9 again. I'm gonna move to my B flat minor 7, right? Here are my shells. I'm gonna choose the 11 again. So 9 on top, 11 on top. I'll go sharp 9 on top this time. Ooh, I love it. I'll go sharp 5 on top. Love that. Sounds great. I will go double chord tone. Okay, why not? Sounds gorgeous too. You don't always need a color tone, an extension. Okay, I'll go flat 13 here. Let's go natural 13. Okay, I'll go natural 9. See the difference there? Let me see if I can remember what I did. You see how the 3-note voicings now are starting to create these rich harmonies based on the colors that I'm choosing. Now, if you read a transcription of what I just played and I said to you, here are 3-note voicings. Learn this transcription and look and study the voicings that I'm using and try and play them yourself while reading the transcription. Can you imagine that? Like, you would know nothing about how the process unfolds to get you to the point that I just demonstrated. I really hope that starts to sink in. That's what I'm all about. That's what I'm all about, right? There's a process to learning, okay? And so many times out there, students, this is what I did for 15 plus years. I keep going back to that because I don't want you to feel like I'm picking on you. I literally did this, and it's my goal to help you not do the same thing I did. All right. So now you can pick any extension you want, right? So let me choose some different ones again. I'll go through one more example. So here's the 11 on top. I'll use the 13 on top now. Ooh, I love that. That's gorgeous. That's gorgeous, right? So this is really pretty. Let me play it a little quieter. Sorry, screwed up. So look, 7, 3, 13, right? Okay, let's go sharp 11 on top. You got the monk sound. Okay, let's go sharp 11 on top again. So I'm going from this dominant to sharp 11 with the major 7. That's such a cool sound. You hear the contrast in that? Very Monk, right? Then I'll go natural 9. Let's go sharp 11 again. Let's go 3 sharp 11s in a row. I love that. Flat 13. And let's go natural 9 again. All right. Let me see if I can remember what I did. 11 on top. 13. That in itself, oh, so pretty. The natural 13 over minor chords is such a spacey, mysterious sound. Like, listen to this. Like, it's like you're floating. You're like in a mist, kind of like on a, on a boat, you know, like that's the feeling that 13 emotes, right? Very Milesy. Miles used to use 13, natural 13s in minor chords all the time. He just land on those in his solos, right? All right. Natural 11, 13 with the minor. Then I went 3 sharp 11s in a row. Sharp 11, sharp 11, sharp 11. I think I played flat 13 here. Natural 9. Okay. So that was another example of, essentially, we're on the third step now, right? We're picking color tones, we're adding color tones into our 3-note voicings, right? Now, the very last thing before I let you guys go is that the refinery to this, okay, the bow on top is voice leading in some sort of manner your extensions, your color tones. Now, you don't have to. But you want to have it in the back of your mind. You want to think about it because what I just played there, it's gorgeous, right? This is so gorgeous. But things are jumping, okay? So if this is a texture you want, this sounds kind of disjointed with lots of colors and movement. Okay, it's creating a specific texture. I'm not going to say it's not bad, okay? But it's creating a certain texture in atmosphere. And that's kind of like a more of a disjointy movement feeling because the extensions are moving all over the place. Now, if you want a smoother feel, you're going to voice lead every single note. You're going to voice lead your shells and you're going to voice lead your extensions, your colors, right? And to do that, it takes a lot because we're going to have to combine our extensions and our chord tones because not always will we have a close extension to go to. We'll have to kind of use our chord tones to morph things. Here we go. So I'm going to start with the 9 on top. Let's just choose that as a color. Now again, remember, voice leading is moving with the least minimal movement possible, right? So technically, to move to my next chord, I can move up, I can move down to a chord tone, or I can stay on the same note, which will now become the 13. So I'm going to stay on the same note. That's the least minimal movement, right? No movement is the least minimal movement, okay? So I didn't move that 9 at all, right? Now I can move up to my, I have 3 options. I can move up to my sharp 11, I can move down to my 9, or I can stay on the 3rd, which would double the harmony. So I can do from here, I can go up to the sharp 11, or from the 13, I can stay, or I can move down. Right to the 9. Or I can go to the flat 9. I'm sorry, I missed one, right? I can go to the flat 9. No, I'm sorry, that would be too much of a jump. Sharp 9, excuse me. Hey, you could do both, technically. I mean, technically, you can do both, right? I'm trying to jump as least as possible just so you can hear this, though, but you can do that. You could also move to the flat 9, right? That's a little bit more of a jump. Listen to this. So, dee-da, you're getting this top line that's kind of skipping. I'm trying to create either half steps or whole steps just for this particular demonstration. So I'm going to go up to the sharp 11. Now again, for here, for example, I have to come back down to the 7, right? I'm going to stay on the sharp 11. Okay, now here, I have to come back down to double the 7, and then maybe I'll go to sharp 11 here, right? And again, you could keep the G, I think. You could keep the G the whole time, and it would serve as extensions and chord tones. So let's do a different one. Okay, I'm going to move down to the 5 now. Then I'll move to the flat 9. Then I'll move to the sharp 11. Then I'll move back up to the 9. Then I'll move to the 13. And then to the 9. That's a real pretty movement. So when you start to voice lead the extensions, you get these upper harmonic lines, movements that actually create counter melody lines. 9, 5, flat 9, sharp 11. 9, 13, 9. Let me see if I can pick out the movement that I did by itself. So I use 9, 5. This is just the top line, right? Flat 9, sharp 11, 9, 13. Isn't that gorgeous? I mean, that's an improv line in itself right there. Now, like I said, that, what I just did, is very, very advanced. But when you get to a high level of comping, right, through your chords, that's essentially what's happening to create these beautiful comping lines with your voicings. And clearly you're adding in a couple more notes here and there. You're adding in some other extensions like I was doing, some arrangements. But this is the process, I mean, that one takes to get to that level, right? Now again, we can change it. So this is a nice one too. I'll leave you guys with this. 9. I love the 11 here too. Going to that 13. Sorry. And again, remember, you don't have to voice lead. The first way, you can do half a pick and pull, right? I'll do a little jump here to the 13. Sharp 9. Natural 13 for the major 7, the A flat major 7. Okay, sharp 11. Flat 9, 13 rather. I could go to the flat 9. I would really love to do that. That's what I would do because I was using two hands to create the spread. So you have this. Where was I? You have this gorgeous top movement line, right? So I'm using sharp 11 here on the D flat major 7. Flat 9, right, on the G 7. Natural 13 on the C major 7. Now again, the way I'm voicing these guys, because we're talking about three note voicings, is I'm voicing them with the three notes in my right hand completely. Now again, that is limiting. That's a limiting way. When you study my two hand voicing building system, it actually frees up your hand to allow you to move in better ways. So for example, this particular like kind of progression I just used, right, I would tell you probably that you can voice this like this, but then moving into the G7, you don't have to voice this like this. That's painful. No, 1 and 7, 3, flat 9, and then you move to this, right? But see, the way that students are usually taught the majority of time using the old traditional ways of learning jazz is that once you get to here, you know, you probably wouldn't even pick this option, right? And then if you're trying to play three-note voicings, you think, oh, man, I have to use three notes in my right hand while my left hand plays bass notes. But then how do I reach this? Well, you don't. You just voice it like this. And if you move through my two-hand voicing building system, then you would know the setups and the components to use to do that. All right? Anyway, let me just recap, okay, before I let you guys go. Number one, be able to play all shells through any chords. Voice lead them in all keys, right? Voice lead your shells through your tunes, right? Also be able to play your shells without voice leading too. You should be able to jump around, right? Just like that. Okay, that's just basically the first step. Okay, then you're going to add your chord tones onto your shells. You're going to pick roots, fifths, sevenths, double, whatever you want. Okay, that's still the first step. Okay, then you're going to voice lead while picking chord tones. So voice lead your shells while picking chord tones. Okay, you get that? That's going to be the second step. The third step is finally you're adding color tones instead of the chord tones. Right, like we just practiced. I love this. That's the third step. That's the third and final step. All right, guys. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this. I'll see you in the next podcast lesson.